The Great Confession of Jesus Under Oath, Matthew 26, verses 63 to 67. And the high priest said to him, to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so. Or in Mark's Gospel, I am, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? This is the word of the Lord. And oh Lord, like John the Baptist, we pray, you increase, let us all decrease, but let us all turn our faces. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. Oh God, turn the gaze of our souls towards the Lord Jesus Christ on this Palm Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Brothers and sisters, we concluded audio one on the great confession of Jesus with the high priest Caiaphas, placing Jesus under oath before Almighty God. And Jesus had to answer yes or no. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Most High God? We considered the electric atmosphere in the Sanhedrin, the deep silence that reigned. What would Jesus say if he said no? All our hopes are dashed eternally. If he said yes, his death sentence was signed. But thank God, if he said yes, he would also be placing a great foundation of faith for all of us underneath our faith in the trials and crucible of life. And so silence reigned. And after what must have been a long period, Jesus breaks the silence. And he speaks with a clear conscience and with a clear consciousness of the impact of his words. Considerately, carefully, formally, forcefully, definitely, deliberately, decidedly, with absolutely no ambiguity, he said, I am. It is. You have said it, Caiaphas, high priest. Or we can say, yes. His answer was yes. And he adds, in addition to all that, he says, I say to all you people in the Sanhedrin, not only the high priest, and perhaps he's speaking to the whole world, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man, that messianic term of the Old Testament, sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God, or the right hand of the power of God, coming in the clouds of heaven. This was a prophecy quoting Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 onwards. All the Sanhedrin people knew what this meant. He was claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of Man of Old Testament prophecy. And for the second time, shockwaves would have gone through the Sanhedrin. The term Son of Man being one of the phrases used commonly for the Messiah in the Old Testament. So in other words, if we paraphrase, Jesus was saying to Caiaphas, yes, you have said it. In fact, in the next chapter, Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And he said the same answer, you have said so. In other words, yes to Pilate too. And then he added this section on Daniel about how on the last day, the Lord Jesus would come and be crowned and rule over the nations. And he said to Caiaphas and those judges of Israel, you stand to judge me. one day on the last day, I will be judging you. Oh Jesus, once again, we fall at your feet in adoration and thanksgiving for this great confession that you made before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, and in the next chapter before Pilate. And so shockwaves went through the Sanhedrin for a second time. What a dramatic moment! Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, making this great confession. Friends, angels, millions of them would have exploded in praise. God the Father would have thundered from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But there was no sound from heaven. Why? Because the Lamb of God was entering the Holy of Holies to make the atoning sacrifice for all mankind, to be offered as a sin offering for all mankind, to fulfill the Yom Kippur day, the great and final Yom Kippur day, where his blood would be poured out on the mercy seat. As the communion liturgy puts it so well, who made there by his one oblation or offering of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. On Easter day, all heaven would break loose, for now it seemed all hell was breaking loose. Caiaphas, on the other hand, rubbed his hands in glee. This is what he was waiting for. He tears his clothes, his royal, dignified, high priestly garments. He tears them in mock indignation. And he says he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? He was waiting for this. He wanted something to place the death penalty on Jesus. And he says, "Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all said, "He is worthy of death." And then, sad to say, but Jesus predicted this three times. They spat on him, they struck him with their fists, they slapped him, they mocked him. These religious leaders, these religious rascals, we could say, the Sanhedrin and others, religion, leaders, religious leaders were acting like the forces of hell or the devil himself. And yet, even in this, there is something exciting, dear friends. As in Psalm 2, we read, when the coalition of forces joined against the Lord and against his anointed, the Lord enthroned in heaven laughed in derision. For the second time, Caiaphas was making a true prophecy without realizing he was doing it. I read a statement long ago that thrilled my soul. God uses even the incubators of the devil to hatch out his glorious purposes. The Lamb wins. In John 11, verse 49 onwards, you know the story. After Lazarus being raised from the dead, the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin and said, "Everyone is going after him. What are we to do?" And the scheming, crafty Caiaphas said, "You know nothing at all. It is good that one man should die for the nation than that the whole nation should perish." And John adds his postscript to that and says, he did this because as high priest he was prophesying that Jesus would die for the sins of Israel, but also for the sins of the whole world. That was his first prophecy without recognizing it. Now he was acting a prophecy. He tore his robes in mock indignation. And when he tore his robes, he was prophesying the end of the significance of the Jewish high priesthood. He didn't realize it. His office is no more needed. The end of the significance of the Jewish high priest. A high priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. A priest after the order of Melchizedek was standing in front of him. Who would take over an eternal priesthood because he ever lives to make intercession for us. His mouth was silent then, but now after the ascension, his mouth is always open in intercession and advocacy for his people. Not only that, the Jerusalem temple would lose its significance. It was a vital part of God's redemptive plan. But now there is the fulfillment in Jesus, not the replacement. Those Old Testament types and prophecies are wonderful. We thank God for the Jewish nation from whom we have received all this. But now Jew and Gentile together rejoice in the fulfillment in Jesus. The Lamb is the temple. The Lord of heaven and earth will in the next few days retire from the Holy of Holies. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the veil tore from top to bottom. And the Lord will retire from the Holy of Holies and take up his residence in the temple he always longed to dwell in, the hearts of men and women who follow him. Not only that, the offerings and of lambs and bulls and goats has reached its termination in the sight of God. No further sacrifices are needed. The global meeting place for all mankind is now not Jerusalem, but the cross of Jesus. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, professors and cleaners in healthcare, we all meet at the foot of the cross. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful truth this is. As Jesus clearly demonstrated that he did not come to replace but to fulfill. And Caiaphas tears his clothes, and we can say, "Oh, you judges of Israel, how could you have been so blind? It was so obvious. His whole life, miracles, angelic visitations, prophecies, did they not all point to the truth that Jesus Christ is Messiah and Lord?" Oh, brothers and sisters in the 21st century, healthcare workers in South Asia and the world, how can we be so blind? Not only should we turn from corrupt religion, we should turn from religion. We should turn to Jesus. One day as I contemplated this, I wondered, what could the high priest have done? At least now, it was his last opportunity. He could have called his servants and said, "Run, take the sacred anointing oil and come, fallen at the feet of Jesus, anointed him and said to Israel, 'Behold, O Israel, your Messiah.'" What an opportunity he had. He missed it. Judas, Pilate, Herod, they all missed it. Their hearts were too hard. But there was a little lovely and precious woman who might have said in her heart with thanksgiving, "Thank God I got the opportunity a few days ago and I did it." She grabbed it, Mary of Bethany, just maybe 2 days ago, and poured out her offering at the feet of Jesus and anointed him for burial. So, beloved friends, we plead with all of us, don't ever turn from Jesus. The alternative is placed before us this day. Look and live, or refuse and die. Break with Jesus and approve of the Sanhedrin's betrayal of their own Messiah, or join Mary of Bethany and the children of Jerusalem who cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There is no middle path. Jesus has affirmed with his declaration. He has put a stable, unshakable foundation under our feet. As we enter this Holy Week, let us come and adore him and pour our hearts out to him like Mary of Bethany. "Wherefore, with my utmost art, I will sing thee, and the cream of all my heart I will bring thee. Though my sins against thee cried, thou didst clear me, and alone when they replied, thou didst hear me." Let us give him the cream of all our heart. O Jesus, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. May this Holy Week see us breaking our alabaster treasures like Mary of Bethany and pouring them out in adoration at the feet of our Lord. We dare not miss such an opportunity. Amen.